Your style is unorthodox,
but effective.
It is not the art, but the combat that you enjoy.
Man, you come right out of a comic book.
You are now listening to Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
We are live on Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
We are live on Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
Hi, this is Anthony Rutgazer. I'm the writer of The First Hero and Heroes of Homeroom C, and you are listening to Black Comics Chat.
Hi, this is Regine L. Sawyer, owner, writer, creator of Lock It Down Productions and the coordinator founder of the Women in Comics Collective International. You are now listening to Black Comics Chat.
I believe our second show about the WWE pay-per-view. I have a fabulous guest. You know what? I don't even think I'm going to call you a guest. I think I'm going to start calling you a co-host. Regine Sawyer. How are you, Regine?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we're going to start calling this the Roan Yard for now until we figure out a better title for this.
I love it.
So we'll just do that. But welcome to the Roan Yard, and we're going to be discussing Money in the Bank pay-per-view. What are your thoughts? Just initially, before we go through Matt, what are your thoughts?
Crazy. Just my overall impression. Yeah. I mean, I definitely was just like, what the hell am I watching on it, like, at various points? Like, wait, what? You know, I think they were trying to sort of just meet our expectations in terms of what we saw for WrestleMania. So they still wanted to have like bits of surprise and stuff. And I think having the component of Money in the Bank matches to be at the corporate headquarters definitely was, I mean, not totally comparable to what happened in the Boneyard, but definitely was dope. I mean, I was in it. I was like, I'm here with you guys. Like, I'm down for it. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. Overall, it was a very enjoyable experience.
Awesome. You know, we didn't really grade WrestleMania, so we'll see if we can grade Money in the Bank. If I had to grade WrestleMania, probably say like maybe an A-, B-plus in that range. So yeah. What did it compare to? My initial thoughts, you know, I didn't know what to really expect. but it was better than I thought, to be quite honest with you. What I really hoped would happen actually happened, and that was that the women and the men would mix it up a little bit. I didn't expect a full blown thing, but the fact that they did, I think, really sort of it met my expectations.
Hi, can I ask a question? Can I ask a Manish Sinha question? Yes. Why is it Money in the Bank?
That's a very good question. So years ago, there's this thing called the Money in the Bank match. What it is that there'd be a select number of contestants or wrestlers who would basically fight in one match. And the winner of that match would have to climb up a ladder and grab a briefcase. And the briefcase would guarantee a title shot whenever you want it. Whenever you want it. So if you saw the champion on the street, you could just cash it in, boom, fight him on the street. Or in the case of, like, let's say Edge, whereas you wait for the champion to get his ass kicked for an entire match, he wins, and then you come in, do one move, pin him, done. And so, then you're the new champion.
So it's a cheat code.
Yes, exactly. It's a cheat code.
Wow.
Now, interestingly enough, there have been people who have cashed it in and have failed. It has happened, but you know, whatever. So yes, it is the ultimate cheat code in wrestling. So that's a very good point.
Wow.
But there were some pre-matches. I don't know if you guys saw the pre-match with Jeff Hardy and Cesaro.
Yes, I did.
You did. What were your thoughts on the match?
I mean, it was a good match. I mean, Matt Hardy, I mean, he definitely, he never fails to give a good show, you know. And Cesaro, I'm always waiting for him to spit his mouth guard out or something, but I don't think he'll ever do that, at least not on purpose, after having his teeth kicked in. I don't think he'll ever do that ever again. But it was a tremendous match, especially for being a pre-show match. Mm. That definitely could have been in the main show. It definitely could have been in the main show.
Definitely surprised to see Jeff Hardy in a pre-match.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. But
I said Matt. I always confuse the two. I'm like, to me, they look twins.
Matt is over in ACW doing the delete thing.
I know he is.
AEW. I don't know if I said ACW. It doesn't matter. They're still new. We can get their name on. Okay, so that leads into the next match, which is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship with The New Day versus The Miz and John Morrison versus The Forgotten Sons versus the Lucha House Party. And this was just, we're going to throw the kitchen sink in this match. We have some people we need to pay, so we're just going to throw everybody in. So it was an okay match. It was I always root for the underdogs. I really want Lucha House Party to get their comeuppance, but it is what it is.
I mean, they're really good wrestlers.
Yeah, they are. They're tremendous.
They're tremendous wrestlers.
I mean, I'm not mad at the New Day. The New Day ended up winning, but I'm not mad at that. I mean, you know, the New Day can keep winning for as long, because I really...
As long as the Miz and Jim Morrison didn't win anything again.
I was going to say that. You know... The Miz does his job very well, making sure that you hate him. You know what I mean? John Morrison, I don't like at all, but whatever. But I'm really interested in the Forgotten Sons. They're the new kids on the block, so to speak. I'm not exactly a fan of their gimmick, but, you know, we'll see. I would much rather see the Viking Raiders than that.
I love the Viking Raiders. They're such good wrestlers.
Oh, my God.
They're amazing.
They put it down on Monday. And I love the Street Profits, but I'm like, bro.
I thought I loved the Street Profits, and when they lost, I'm like, no.
So, bro.
I loved them. I almost cried. I was like, but I do.
They're still the champions. Anyway, getting back to the pay per view. So New Day ended up winning. It was an okay match. It was everything you kind of expect from, you know, Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
And Big E. Stuff like that.
Now, can I ask something about the New Day? Because the New Day is actually a group that I do know of and I've heard about, because they were like the eminent black wrestling team. Is that right?
That is correct.
Like, they kind of came out the blue and like, were they trailblazers? Were there ones before them? Because I felt like they came out and then all of a sudden people were like, yeah, like more people of color in wrestling, let's do this.
So Kofi has been in the WWE for a long time, and the New Day in the grand scheme of, let's say, Kofi's career is sort of kind of newer. They are trailblazers because of the amount of titles that they've won, but they're actually three members. And I think with Xavier Woods, who is out with an Achilles injury, he is more known because he is a gamer, and he goes to Comic-Cons, and he goes to these... about video games, so he's actually well known for doing that, and I think they follow him as well. But they are trailblazers for many things. There have been other tag team, Hall of Fame tag team, thinking of Harlem Heat, but they didn't get as much accolades as the New Day, for example.
Yeah, like they have like they're like fan faves, right? They're like people want to see them rock.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Okay.
Speaking of black people, the next segment featured three black people in one segment, which of course I tweeted about, and it was just like, wow, this is great. We had MVP interrupting R-Truth. R-Truth came out with his whole rapping stuff, and R-Truth makes me laugh, and he's a national treasure to me.
He's a blast.
He's so absolutely funny. So MVP came out, and MVP's diss of R-Truth made me laugh for at least 5 minutes. But he called him like an future Offset wannabe or something like that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God, it was hysterical. It was hysterical. I'm still laughing about it. And then of course Bobby Lashley, this big, humongous black guy. And I actually do like Bobby Lashley as a wrestler. I just don't like what they're doing with him right now.
Yeah, me too.
Bobby Lashley pretty much destroys R-Truth. I mean, I can't be mad at that. It's Bobby Lashley. But I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with him. Because I think with Rusev out of the WWE, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, wait. You mean considering Rusev and Lana are really actually married? Lana, yeah. They're still married.
Bobby Lashley, whatever. Oh, God.
I mean, well, it was fun. I was happy to see, like, three black wrestlers in a ring, but I really wanted to see them wrestle. Like, I love R-Truth. I love his shtick. I love what he does. But he's such a good wrestler.
Yes.
He is phenomenal. I wanted him to see him really, really wrestle Bobby Lashley. But I think they just sort of kind of want to springboard him back into doing the 24/7 champion thing. 24/7. And I'm just... You know, and go off and go against, right? 7-Eleven, 34-7 championship. And you want to see him go after like Gronkowski or whatever. And I guess that'll be for whatever the next big thing is, which is probably, I guess, maybe SummerSlam.
Yep.
Maybe like the next big thing. So I guess, you know, then we'll see the 24/7 championship come back, I guess. And then we'll see, you know, R-Truth do his thing, but I really want to see these three amazing black men wrestle. But I was like, all right,
we'll deal with this one. Yeah, it would have been great. I think a triple threat match would have been great. And it has not been lost on me that MVP's outfit was actually Black Panther.
Yes, he did that last time for WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was dope. For those who don't know, Rob Gronkowski.
Whatever.
A football player who retired and now is back on the Tampa Bay. He was on New England with everybody's hated wrestler, quarterback Tom Brady. And Tom Brady got traded to Tampa Bay. And Rob Gronkowski, whatever his name is, decided to go with him. Gronk, he is now the 24/7 champion because he pinned his friend in WrestleMania, and we haven't seen him since. So I think that was R-Truth springboard, as you mentioned. He's gonna. What he said was he's going after Tom Brady, which was hilarious.
wait a minute. So there's a football player who's wrestling.
So what happened was, well, a lot of football players wrestle, but what
do
happened
they?
Was
okay.
Gronk he retired. After the last football season, and he hosted WrestleMania. So I believe that the thought was that he would still be a part of the company. So they gave him the opportunity to win the belt. But then the news of Tom Brady kind of hit, and then he was like, you know what, I'm going back to football, but he still has the belt. Now, understand, WWE has a partnership with Fox Sports. They know what they're doing. And Fox Sports has a partnership with the NFL. This is probably going to be some cross-promotional, people are bored with COVID type of shit. You know, he's going to walk into the locker room. He's going to end up trying to pin Tom Brady or whatever. And people are going to eat it up because it's going to be about ratings. So I'm not mad at it. But yeah. Who knows if it's going to be football season this year? Let's be real.
Oh, that's true. I mean, this is something to do aside from, like, I don't know, them becoming professional gamers playing Fortnite or some shit. But I guess, like, the reason why I didn't put together, I thought it was surprising. It's like, okay, so if you're a football player and you go wrestle, like, wrestling can be dangerous, right? Like, you do some crazy ass jump, you like fuck up and like mess up your leg or something. Now you're out for a season, right?
Well, no, usually they don't. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, so no, go ahead, Regine.
I was just going to say, usually they're leaving football and going into wrestling.
It's
they're
a transition.
Not, like, going back. No toggling.
Okay. All right. That was my thought, because I'm like, that must mess up, like, their insurance premiums and shit. Like, yeah. They're, like, out, like, jumping off of the turnbuckle and whatnot. It's like, wait a minute. Like, your legs are insured, fam. Like, you need to run this. Okay.
There are a few exceptions, though, Leo. I mean... There was
did Michael Jordan do that after he fucked up baseball?
No. Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone. Yes, where I'm never going to really say his name after this, but those two basically wrestled with Hulk Hogan and I forgot who the other opponent was on the other side. Oh, Diamond Dallas Page, back in like I think 95 or 96, something like that. I think it was 98 during the Jazz's championship. No, they didn't win the championship. Their run to the finals. So that was the only time where we've seen, I think one of the few times we've seen active sports people, athletes, wrestle in an actual show. They didn't get hurt, but I think the NBA was very nervous.
Yeah. Right. Like they're not going to do like an extreme match or some shit. That's not going to happen.
No, they didn't. I mean, the match itself was not that great because, I mean, they can't do the extra shit. And at the end of the day, when you're in the ring with Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan's going to take care of it. So.
Right.
All right. So this is what I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
The SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah. What's the question?
Fucking Bayley, man. Bayley wins again.
I mean, Sasha Banks has no business being at the side of the ring. Number one, she should have been ushered to the left.
Yep.
Moved to the left with her sassy ass. Move to the left. Mm-hmm. Let Tamina take care of that ass and call it a day. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Tamina just tear Bayley to pieces. Absolutely. I was so annoyed. I was so aggravated. I'm sick of both. I think I've said this before. I'm sick of both of the champions on SmackDown, on Raw, both the women's champs. I'm like, someone needs to take your belts away. Bye, Becky. Bye, Bayley. Bye. Bye, basic. Bye, basic Becky. Like, give some people a chance.
Not only better athletes, but you also have a slew of wrestlers of color, particularly women of color. I mean, Tamina would be that. I mean, I know in our world, Tamina would be the champion, if not Sasha herself, to be quite honest.
Yes, yes.
But we'll get to that in the future plans that they have for that later in the show. But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's also, a part of me is just like, Tamina is just this huge, muscular woman. She's basically throwing you around the ring. And somehow she pulls it out, but
when someone grabs you by your hair, right?
Yeah.
They grab your hair like this, and then take you and go bam and use you like a bongo. You know, you should be decimated and gone. Same thing for her cousin. You know, once she gets your hands on you, you should be dead. Like, there's no reason why.
Honestly, they should both be running the tag team division. They should just put them both together and just. But you know, the thing is, they'd never lose, in my opinion. But
I mean, they had them tag teaming for a while, but they did not win any belts.
That's crazy.
You know, and that was when the belt on the women's championship belt was released for tag teams. And yeah, they didn't win. They didn't win any. And I was so angry. I was like, all of you should be decimated. These ladies should have these belts for like the next 5 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So that was an okay match. I kind of knew that was going to happen, but okay. So then we have the Universal Championship between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. I have so many questions.
Yes, I do too.
Good match. But I don't understand why the Fiend doesn't come out.
I was questioning that with my roommate too, because we were talking and I was watching and like, wait, where's the Fiend? And she's such a huge wrestling for the past like 30, 35, 40 years that I mean she has just said something interesting. She was just like, well, she's like, I probably just want to concentrate on Bray right now. I mean, I know that I mean we heard that Vince doesn't like the Fiend.
What?
He doesn't like the because he didn't come up with that concept. Bray did. So I was thinking maybe they put sort of like a little damper on it because Vince doesn't like that character. Mm. But I also thought about the fact that, you know, Braun had a relationship with Bray directly. So it made more sense maybe that he and Bray were fighting. Because when Bray came out in his, someone corrected me online because I said cardigan. And I said, thank you. I meant pullover. Right. I should know the difference. I crochet. But if he came out in his pullover, I was like, where's the fiend? But I was happy to see Bray. I mean, I was happy to see Bray.
Yeah. What I'm hoping is that maybe they're just pushing that match to SummerSlam. Because I think right now we're in the build-up to SummerSlam, if you can believe it. But I think that I'm hoping that's what it is. We saw remnants of, I mean, clearly there's a story to be told here between Braun and Bray, with the Wyatt family issues of several years ago, and Bray wanting Braun to come back to the family. I could see how the Fiend comes in later, but that's the match I really want to see. Not that I don't like Bray. I think Bray is great, but we all know that we're here for this character, the Fiend. You know what I mean? So.
It's true. But I kind of enjoyed it because Bray came out. He's like, I don't want to do this. He's like, no, like, I just want him to come back to the family. I was like, this is so creepy. And then I just have to say this. Braun came out with no shirt on and this mask. I was like, this is getting kind of kinky. I don't know how I feel.
Like, what am I watching right now?
Like, shield my eyes. Like, what are we doing?
What am I watching right now?
Where is this going?
I will say this. It just shows how huge Braun is.
He's ginormous.
He's like, he wears that shirt and it hides absolutely everything. He took his shirt off. And I'm like, this guy's ridiculous. Like, he almost might be bigger than Batista.
I think he is. I think he is. I was like, every time I see him, I'm like, I know I come up to your belly button. Like, I know I come up to your belly button. I'm like, that is scary.
Oh, my God. Overall, it was a good match. I mean, they both know each other well. The moves were great. I think what really surprised me, I think the one spot was when Braun went outside the ring to do his locomotive thing and Bray got out of the way and he went right into the announce table. I've never seen that.
That is my worst nightmare.
like
a Mack truck. I think you saw Michael Cole like flip out of the way like, oh, hell no.
No regard for the announcers.
By the way...
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, didn't Tamina do something similar with Bayley? She like flipped her by her head.
She did.
Across the announcer table, like, all the people got out of it. They like, oh shit.
She threw her like across the
like a rag doll. Like she weighed like a penny. She went. Poof. I was like, oh my God, Bayley's dead. I was like, Bayley's dead.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about who died. So we're gonna talk about who died in this ladder match.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Leo. Go ahead. What was your question?
No, I didn't have a question. I was gonna pipe in and explain who's bigger, Braun Strowman or Dave Bautista, because I actually looked that up while you guys were talking. And Braun Strowman tops him by 2 inches. He's 6'8". Bautista's 6'6". The problem is, so Braun Strowman's weight is 386, which sounds crazy. He's almost 400 pounds. That's crazy. And I don't know what Bautista's weight is because he hasn't been arrested. He hasn't really been doing – I don't think he's been doing weigh-ins.
Right, no, he hasn't.
It says his last build weight was 290. Is that guy really – could that really be 100 pounds on top of Bautista?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God damn, that's weight like –
That's scary.
That's a big – Big dude. Oh my God.
That's like, he's like, he weighs like one possible girlfriend more than Dave Bautista does. Like, that's like a whole person. That's like a whole person if they don't eat a ton. Damn. That's crazy.
It's basically me.
It's like one Regine. He weighs like one Regine more than Bautista. That is crazy. That is crazy, yo.
That is scary.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's hysterical. So anyway, Strowman defeats Bray Wyatt to retain the Universal Championship, which again, I'm not really surprised. I think again, had he faced the Fiend, maybe it's a different result. We don't really know. The next match, which was a really good match, was Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. Go ahead, preach.
Well, first of all, I have to say that I've never seen Seth so oily in my life.
Oh,
like Dax. Dax Grisoli, your old head used to, you know, like me with my afro, get it all moisturized, like Dax and baby oil mixed together, and just slathered all the taco meat on his chest. He looked like fried chicken. Like,
oh my God.
That was first and foremost. So I said, okay, I guess you're definitely going to make sure this dude just slips right off.
Oh my God.
He can get a handle on you. So don't let Drew get his hands on you.
You know, maybe he slides off with the Claymore kick.
basically.
They are really leaning into this whole Monday Night Messiah thing because,
yes.
So, you know, if you've seen pictures of, you know, the white Jesus, you know that he is the bearded and the long hair. And it's really crazy that when he puts his hair down, he looks like
the white Jesus.
What the hell? You know, and the thing is that I will tell you, when Seth was a good guy and he had the title, I couldn't stand him. I felt like he was whiny. So I really prefer him as a heel.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So when he talks, you know that he keeps hitting certain points. I've been sacrificed. I've been crucified, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, when we come back to live shows, you're going to get so many Bibles thrown at you.
Seriously, those little green ones or the white ones.
No, you're going to get the watchtower. They're going to ball up the watchtower. Go to Harlem, grab a couple of watchtowers, ball them up and throw it at them.
Oh my God. But yeah.
What did you think about the match?
I mean, it was a solid match. I think it was a solid match. It was a strong match. I love Drew McIntyre. Even when he was a bad guy, I loved to hate him and threaten him through my TV. I love Drew McIntyre. I did. And now that he's a good guy, I guess. He's just himself. I feel like he's himself with a belt, you know? I knew he was going to win. But I did feel like Seth gave it his best shot. Because it wasn't in one of those circumstances where you had, like, who are the Beast? I don't even like saying his name. Brock Lesnar. Not like it was somebody like Brock Lesnar where you have to make sure you hit him in the balls. Like, you got to make sure. It's not one of those things. It's like, really, like, Drew's going to give you a run for your money. And he's always going to get up. You know, he's not going to let you get to his sensitive parts. You know, it's not going to be that type of thing. But he definitely gave Seth a run for his money. And Seth could have possibly won, but I don't know. Drew is very tenacious. He's very, very tenacious. Like, if he could survive all those F5s, I mean.
That's what I was thinking. Right, exactly. Drew McIntyre is another big boy. Oh, my God, that man is huge. But yeah, I really do like Drew McIntyre, even as a good guy. I mean, as a bad guy, he seemed a little off when he was doing that whole thing with Shane McMahon. But I think he looks so much more comfortable right now.
Yes, he does.
It's where he wants to be. It comes across in any of the promos he does and his moves. And his Claymore kick is fascinating. You know what I mean? I like the way he does it. He's been wrestling for a long time, so this is sort of a comeback story for him. You know, I think he failed in his previous incarnations, and now he's a championship. So he's the champion. So I'm hoping to see him there for a while, but you know, we'll see how Vince. We're gonna get to Vince in a minute, but this was a good match. This is a good match.
Hey, this is a really good match.
So. All right, now to the main event, and I wanted to rush through everything because I feel like we could talk about this match for at least an hour.
Okay.
So the Money in the Bank ladder match, and for Leo's sake, and for anyone else who doesn't know what we're talking about, let me just explain the premise. So the thing is that the wrestlers who have made it to this match are all in Connecticut battling each other in the WWE corporate tower. Okay, so the match starts into the lobby, and they're going to fight each other all through the floors until they get to the roof, in which there's the wrestling ring, and suspended above that wrestling ring are two cases of the Money in the Bank cases. One is for the women, and one is for the men. Now, what I found fascinating, and I knew they were going to do this, is that this is now becoming more of their cinematic matches. This was very interesting and very entertaining. let's just jump into it.
I've been talking, you go.
So the men started, I think, in the gym, in where the weights were, and the women started in the lobby. which was interesting. And of course, let me tell you, I kind of knew who was going to win this match, because I think they kind of built it up even in the beginning. But as everybody's sort of being introduced in the lobby, we'll focus on the women first. Asuka is not with them, because Asuka is in the balcony and dives over the balcony and lands on everybody. And while everybody is hurt, she runs into the elevator and goes up. Right there, I knew she was going to win.
Yeah, she got a leg up on them. She got a leg up on them.
And then the guys, and the guys started in the locker room or the gym. And to me, what made me laugh was that they were all talking shit as it was starting. Like, the women were silent. The women were just like, they were going to take their time or whatever. The men were just like, I don't know why you're here, but I'm about to your ass. I'm about to your ass. And you got Otis rubbing his belly. But it started out great. And Rey Mysterio is a beast.
He is. He takes a lot of beating.
He's a beast. When the funniest part is when AJ Styles was trapped underneath the weight.
Yes.
And he was like, Rey, help me. And he was like, Estás loco, and just runs. I was done.
I'm helping you.
So there were a couple of goofy things that happened. We saw Brother Love.
Yes.
Which was okay, but it was just sort of like, and I get it, you're in the corporate headquarters, you're going to see whatever. Doink the Clown. Which, whatever. And then I forgot the other person that we saw in the sort of, the not the wheelchair, but the go-kart. I forgot his name. I remember he used to be the GM. But anyway, and then a few things happened. We saw Vince McMahon. The fight got to his office. And I swear to God, why is Vince McMahon on TV? Like, I thought, he looked like he woke up. Yikes. What else did we? I think the other fascinating thing at some point was, what was her name? She ended up, Dana Brooke. She ended up thinking that she won because she saw it.
That looks so embarrassing.
In the conference room? Like,
yeah, this is the Money in the Bank conference room. I mean, Stephanie had come in, and then there was the Money in the Bank box up on the ceiling, and then she really thought that that's what it was. I was like, bitch, that's not the roof. Like, that's not the roof. And Stephanie's like, Dana, you're in the wrong space. This is the Money in the Bank office. This is not where you win anything. I felt bad for Dana. I felt bad for her. She looked real stupid.
Fight then gets to a point where they all get to the cafeteria. Like, all the men and all the women are at the cafeteria. And this is the whole, and this is where, who did we see? Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman was sitting there about to eat.
So what happened was that Otis obviously sees the food, and he yells, food fight. Everybody looks like he's crazy, but there's an actual food fight, which was fun. It was. Until Nia Jax murders Camilla.
Yeah. One of them blonde women. Camilla. I was like, break her. I'm not a Camilla fan. I was like, break her.
Like, with all the food being thrown and all the punches being kicked, for her to take that bump there on the table, and then I knew we were not going to see it for the rest of the match. She
dead. There was a few of them. I mean, didn't didn't Naya and Otis like do a belly slam?
They did a belly slam
on Ray. And I think, I don't know, I saw Lacey, oh no, that's I saw Lacey's face because she's like, oh, like what is going on? Like that is gonna get bad. And then Shayna Baszler, didn't she? She had somebody in the headlock. She made someone go to sleep.
Was it AJ Styles? Who did she put?
She made somebody. Yeah, there was somebody. I forget who it was. Was it Ray? I felt like everyone grabbed Ray. Was it Otis?
No. She didn't hem up Otis. It was either Ray or AJ Styles. But yes, I remember this first time that you saw Nia really hem up a guy. It was hysterical.
It was crazy.
I'm also forgetting something that made me laugh.
It was a lot.
So it has to do with the conference room. And I believe Camilla did her little moonwalk into the woman's right.
Yeah, right up her neck. Right up her face. Good. Put it asleep. Put it to bed.
That was before she got murdered.
I'm like, put it asleep.
All right. So then they move up. They kind of move up and they go back and forth. Again, this is cinematic. You have music. You have funny quips. Because what happened was when they got in, with the two wrestlers that got into Vince McMahon's office was Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. And before they could really get into it, Vince yells at them to get out of the office. Then AJ's like, put back the chairs, and they kindly, nicely put back the chairs, kind of leave the office. So that was kind of funny. But then it starts getting a little real. Nia Jax absolutely destroys Shayna Baszler. On the way to the roof.
She does!
Holy cow. Like, we know Shayna Baszler is a bad, bad woman, and we've seen her do this.
Yeah.
We've never seen her fight Nia Jax.
Nope.
And Nia put it to her. I thought she was going to put her through the wall. But that was it. That was another person murdered by Nia Jax. And really, the entire time, they're all chasing Asuka. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Asuka is, like, running from every one of them. On the men's side, the bumps weren't as explicit, but I think my favorite part was when, because you could see that they're in the actual building. You see the pictures on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ Styles runs into this huge picture of The Undertaker.
Yeah, and he just looks thunderstruck.
He looks shook. And then he opens the door. Why would he open the door? I have no idea.
And
there's a casket in there. Oh my God, it was so, he was so like, he was so shook.
Because he was so shook that Alexander Black like kicked him in the face, like just caught him.
And he closed the door.
I also like the part where Baron Corbin, I don't know why they had him start in the fitness room. That's when they started throwing like the barbells.
And
I was like, someone is really going to get hurt. Because he then ended up throwing one of those big ones. Uh-huh. One of those big ones. And whoever was supposed to duck, ducked. And then went right through the glass. The big ass mirror that was on the wall. I said, well.
Was that supposed to happen?
Yeah, that was supposed to happen. He's like, wait. This
is coming out of my paycheck.
Basically.
Okay, all right. I want to interject briefly because, first of all, everything you're saying sounds insane and doesn't sound like a wrestling
match. It's absolute chaos.
Yeah, chaos. Like, I mean, this just sounds like a video game at this point, like fucking up an office. Like, so they're in an office because of COVID, right?
Yeah, probably.
Like, this is everything you're like, the setting is totally abnormal for a normal wrestling match.
Yes, that's why it's cinematic.
Yeah, they wanted to do something different, I guess, especially since it can't be in front of a live studio audience, because normally it wouldn't be anything like that. It'd be ladders. It'd be ladders in and around the ring, and folks would have to get these ladders into the ring and try to get this Money in the Bank briefcase from the ceiling to detach it from. So that's usually how the match would go.
Okay. So, like, you're talking about, like, they're in the fitness room and they're, like, chucking weights and shit. So, like... Okay, like, this is a weird question, and maybe this is, like, a dramatic question for wrestling. Like, I don't know. But, like, does wrestling use props at all? Like, is there any reason to think that, like, if someone threw a weight, if a wrestler threw a weight at another wrestler, what if, is it, like, a two-pound foam weight that looks like some real shit? Like, there's no way they would let that happen, right?
It was real. No, no.
That was like a legit weight.
There was no way he was going to hit him. I mean, the guy really, he was out of the way before it even got out of his hand.
Okay.
So it's definitely one of those things where they use real things, but they weren't, there was no way it was going
to
hit someone.
Like, it was like dramatic panache, like, to just throw it and be like, oh, absolutely. Shit.
Yes. I mean, it happened fast. I mean, for us as a viewer, I mean, it happened fast. I mean, but all you saw was the wrestlers who threw it, Baron Corbin. You just saw his face like, oh, shit. It was like, oops.
Definitely again.
Like, yeah, like, this is coming out of my paycheck.
This is coming out of my paycheck. Absolutely. He knew it. So, you know, Leo, as you were saying, this was organized chaos. You know what I mean? So everything we're saying sounds crazy because it was. And it made it fascinating and captivating because, again, this was sort of that cinematic match that we saw in WrestleMania.
It's like, it sounds a little like, obviously not the moves, but it sounds a little bit like a Jackie Chan scene or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So, and this match actually didn't take as long as I thought it would. But ultimately Asuka reaches the roof first. If I'm correct, right? Does she?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. She reaches the roof first.
Then it was Lacey.
Then it was Lacey.
Lacey and Nia. Yes. And then Nia.
It was Lacey. Killed. Okay.
I'm right, saying the word killed. I thought Lacey was dead. Lacey. Because there was a moment she was not getting up. It looked like she did not land right at all outside of the ring. And my roommate is like, okay, I think Nia did it again.
She was killing people.
I think Nia did it again. I think you heard her for real. She did finally get up, but it was like the referee was like, "Hello,
yeah,
hello."
cinematography wise, Leo, just to let you know, they were actually on the roof, like they had helicopters filming this.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a sound stage or something.
No, this was actually
on the roof of on the corporate building in Massachusetts.
Okay. That's really silly.
So, Asuka ends up winning. She ends up climbing to the top. Before she gets there, and this is the fascinating part, Baron Corbin runs through, okay? And he's like, what is happening? So he's on the ladder with Asuka, all right? Trying to, for some reason, prevent her from getting the money in the bank as if it would affect him.
Yeah, understand that. So when she's like, no,
and she promptly kicked his ass off the ladder, which was hysterical.
It's like I didn't understand either, because it's like, if there's two of them, there's two briefcases. I'm like, yo, just grab one. Why are you trying to take hers?
She kicked his ass off the ladder. I couldn't. It was so fun. I was just not expecting that.
I'm sorry, we have one of the people in the chat, Black Kevin, what's up, Black Kevin, mentions the clip of Asuka jumping is hilarious. Is that what he's referring to?
Yeah.
That's definitely what it is.
Well, she jumped in several points, but I believe that might be what he's talking about.
Okay.
And she's very animated. I love Asuka. Yes. So she wins, and then the guys come in. So Otis comes in, Ray comes in, Corbin's already there, AJ Styles, I believe, comes in. I think all the guys come in, and Corbin is a beast, okay? Hate him, whatever, but he throws Ray off the roof. Now, granted, before I say this, okay, the way the roof is set up, is that he didn't actually throw him off the building. There's a platform where the ring is. Where the ring is. So for those thinking that he actually murdered someone, that's not what happened. But
wasn't Lacey thrown off the roof too? Lacey was thrown off the roof.
You know what she was?
Naya threw off the roof. I was like, okay, I hope that bitch really not dead, because Naya's kind of rough.
Yeah, but same thing happened to Ray. And the thing is, Ray is a little dude.
Yeah.
So he was like, you see feet and everything. Same thing happened to Daniel Bryan.
Oh, he really?
Correct.
I didn't even know.
Same thing happened to Daniel Bryan. Because Corbin threw two people off, because the last three people in the ring was AJ Styles, Corbin, and Otis. Okay, so of course Otis, being Otis, he's kicking everybody's ass and everything. But you know, cheaters will cheat. He's in the ring with two of the biggest heels in the industry right now. There's a chance where you're thinking, well, there's no way Otis is going to win this. So both AJ Styles and Baron, they both get on the ladder and they start fighting each other. Boom, boom, boom. AJ is able to unlock the basket or whatever the thing, and they both have it. So it's like, okay, so in my mind I'm thinking, great, we got to hear more about Corbin or AJ Styles. So he kicks, I don't know how this happened, and I have to rewatch this. He ended up knocking Baron over, and then he drops the chest into the arms of Otis.
Yeah.
And Otis ends up winning. And you know the funny part is, Otis couldn't climb the ladder. I don't know if you remembered that.
It broke.
Every time he would step on the ladder, his foot would go through because he's apparently that heavy. I don't think he's as heavy as Braun Strowman, but whatever. And Otis wins. This was crazy.
It was hilarious. It was the best. It was the best.
So you enjoyed the match. You thought the match was great.
It was. It was very entertaining. It was a lot of fun. A lot of laughs. A lot of action. I feel like, you know, I'm talking about a movie, you know?
Yeah.
It had suspense. It was a thriller. Like, it had it all.
It's
I really enjoyed it.
And, you know, the thing is, they have to do something. And I didn't know how they were going to get through this quarantine situation. You know, I know that UFC had a fight on Saturday, and I know that there were a lot of speculations about that. How could people do this? You know, I think with WWE, they have the benefit of recording a lot of these matches beforehand. You know what I mean? They have a lot of benefit of staging things so that hopefully people are still safe and healthy. But with the UFC, it wasn't really like that on Saturday. I don't know if you heard. I think one of the fighters had tested positive right before the fight or something.
No, I didn't know.
And that particular match was canceled. That's all very crazy and interesting. But somehow the WWE continues to make waves in what we consider to be a positive way in terms of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. Woo.
This was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot. But, you know, I think they did a good job. They did a really good job. So it's going to be cool to see some of the matches tonight if anybody is watching Raw tonight. And I think Becky's fighting. She'll be fighting Asuka tonight. Yeah.
You think so?
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
I didn't know either. Apparently, whoever was one Money in the Bank is supposed to fight Becky tonight. So
I didn't see that. So I was hoping that wouldn't be the case. I really want Asuka to hold that. And honestly, I would rather Asuka just go after Bayley. Cause I think we've seen Asuka and Beck, we've seen this fight three times now. So interesting. Interesting. I know there's supposed to be some huge announcement with Becky. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know if there's anything special going on with the championship belts for the guys, for the men. I'm curious to see who Otis wants to cash in with. He's going to cash
very
in with.
Very interesting.
I mean, that's some big old dudes, man.
That's very, like, who's he going to, that's, let's talk about Otis for a second. So he really shot up in popularity just by being him. And now in the storyline, he's with Mandy Rose. Which, again, we saw happening and stuff like that. But to get the Money in the Bank win, that's interesting. And let's be real. WWE, they really prefer their champions to be of a certain stature and, of course, a certain color.
Yeah.
Otis doesn't fit that mold. You know, mm-hmm. he's for all intents and purposes, he looks like he's overweight. He's probably fine. But he's got the belly. He doesn't look like the traditional type of champion or even contender.
Can't put his arms down.
Yeah, he's like,
I love it.
So I think it's a very interesting call here. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Who's the most unexpected champion or by body type? Who's the most unexpected champion?
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, he ended up winning the Universal Championship a few years ago. Yeah, he's shorter than me. So,
but. Oh, yeah, he's 5'6". Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he's cut up, but he's a little.
Yeah, he's petite.
Huh. All right. I had a question for y'all in conclusion as well, because I feel like you guys broke into this a little bit but didn't explore it enough. And I feel like this should be probably for every episode. Best dressed, worst dressed.
Best dressed, worst dressed.
In terms of wrestling gear,
I guess any metric you can determine, but I would say, who's... You guys were talking a bit about people's outfits, so I was curious.
We did. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, we did. I would say in terms of outfits, I think of look. Let's talk about look. In terms of look, I would say in this particular show, I think the look that I enjoy the most... in terms of the men, would be Aleister Black. Aleister Black seems to wear his gimmick, you know what I mean, with all the tattoos. And he generally looks like somebody I would not even want to be on the same side of the street with. especially in this climate.
Well, he looks like he got the COVID? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
He looks like a dude that does not maintain social distancing.
He looks like a dude that might mistake me for a robber. Let's put it that way.
Oh, God.
Oh, damn. I'm just saying. All right. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's like that. I'm just saying.
I mean, but I can see it.
Yes.
I can see it. I mean, he's married to Selena Vega and all that, but...
He is.
Still.
Wasn't Zimmerman technically Mexican? I mean, come on. Like, that don't mean shit.
He gets props for that.
Selena Vega is very melanated.
She's very melanated.
Young woman.
She is brown. She's very good at her job, by the way.
She's very good at her job.
Hell out of people.
For men-wise, I would say Seth, even though he was man greasy.
Yeah, like, does grease count as accessorizing?
I feel like that's part of the outfit, Leo.
All right, no, I think that's fair.
In terms of the women, and I'll say this because as I'm watching this crazy show last night, you know, my fiance looks at me and she's like, "Do all the women have big boobs?"
All of them don't, though.
It just makes me laugh. I think in terms of outfits, personally, the person I think with the best look is Asuka. You know what I mean? Like, with her multicolored hair and the wild outfit, I think she has the best look. But if you want to say the toughest look, that goes to Shayna Baszler, no matter what.
That's true. But, I mean, she wasn't fighting, but I think Sasha had the best outfit.
Absolutely. You know what? Sasha always comes correct.
She has this red bodysuit, these black over the knee bad bitch boots. Like, I was here for it.
I need to see her wrestle more. She needs to stop being behind Bayley.
Yeah, she really does. She's such a good wrestler. So good.
But I have a feeling that Sasha has been doing some Hollywood stuff, some filming, so maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, the real Django in the chat put out something which I think is sarcastic, but I don't know enough about wrestling to comment. Said, I have a wrestling Star Wars scoop. Sasha Banks has a role in a Star Wars film. Shh, don't tell anybody.
I've heard that too.
He's my brother, so I'm sure he got that's
the scoopability. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna assume that's
a possibility. Yeah. So how would you rate this?
What did we give WrestleMania? Do you remember?
I think we talked about A- for WrestleMania. Just because it was two nights, the cinematic stuff. That's true. I think the Boneyard match made it for that. But I would say an A- for WrestleMania.
Would you say? I would say A- or a B+.
For Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Okay, I would definitely give Money in the Bank a B+. Because I think some of the matches beforehand were just, they were okay. Regine, this is great. I'm so glad that you get to do this with me. or rather, I get to do this with you. Sorry, aww. You're the queen. I get to do this with you. The next pay-per-view is Backlash. They haven't used this one in a while. Next month.
Okay. Right?
Cool. We're in May. I don't even know what month we're in. I know.
It's sometime. It's we here.
So June is Backlash. So if you're down, we're gonna do this again.
Of course. I'm here for it. I have Raw. We're talking now.
Good. I need to turn it on. I want you to watch Raw so that we can at least tweet about it. Thank you so much for being here, Leo. Thank you for being the best producer that we have.
No doubt.
Thank you, Matt.
To everybody in the comments, thank you for joining us. And a huge announcement for Thursday. What are we doing, Leo?
Thursday, we are reading The Life and Death of Toya Harada by Joshua Dysart and Kafu. And anybody that wants to join in, pick up the trade paperback. Come hang out with us. It's our first ever graphic novel book club. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Everyone have a good night. And we will see you next month.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Black Comics Chat.